Gee, Josh, I think you wrote my sermon. That was my sermon right there. You're going to hear some more about that. So here we are. It's the last Sunday before Christmas. Thank you for coming. This is a family thing. This is one of the things that we do, right, as a family. Families are a thing that we happen to have on Christmas Day, and people want to get together and celebrate different things. But this is our church family. And you guys are a huge part of my life. I can tell you, the time that I had off, I needed to deal with some things personally, but I really miss my church family. And so I'm so glad to be here today. So glad you're here today. And as we celebrate this time together, which is kind of a family thing, and that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today. So it is the last Sunday before Christmas, and I know most of you, this is a time that's got a lot of things going on. How many of you just seem kind of overwhelmed by all the different activities that are happening at Christmas time? Yeah, it is a very complicated time, and so we get a little bit, maybe a little bit anxiety and, ooh, what am I going to do? So I understand that. But Christmas, how many of you really love the Christmas season? Yeah, I do. I remember, all the really fun stuff that I used to do when I was a kid and all of those memories of Christmas morning and opening up packages, watching all the Christmas movies and all of the things and decorating. We used to drive around downtown when I was a kid. They would decorate our downtown area with all kinds of lights and wreaths and things on the town square and on all of the lights that were down there, all the street lights and everything. It was just amazing. And we get up and drive down there and look at all of that and then drive around the neighborhoods and watch the Christmas lights. Carol and I went to this one house. I mean, it was definitely like the Griswolds, except on steroids, right, Carol? I mean, there was so much stuff. And people just, they get really obsessed with Christmas. Mostly, as Josh said, for the wrong reason. I love Christmas. I love watching the movies. I love sending, the Christmas cards and decorating the tree and going out and having family gatherings. We had one this week. Our family got together and had a Christmas thing. But I have to ask myself as a Christian, how much of what we experience at Christmas has anything whatsoever to do with the real reason? Did Jesus have any interest at all in Frosty the Snowman? No. Was he hoping that we would somehow get together and bake Christmas cookies? I don't want to be a bah humbug, but we're going to be talking about Christmas and how badly we do at it. So hopefully that's not going to bum you out too much. You look at the title of the sermon, The Meaning of Life, Christianity, the Bible, God, and Christmas. And what did we talk about last week? What did we talk about? Yeah, I was talking about the meaning of life, Christianity, the Bible. And it was relationship and intimacy with God. Okay. Whether you accept it or not, that is the most important thing regarding humanity that exists. When Jesus returns, there's going to be no question in the mind of every human being ever born. The most important thing was I needed a relationship with God. And I either have it and it's wonderful and I'm going to heaven, or I don't. And I'm going to hell. And everyone is going to recognize that that is the most important thing that ever existed while I existed. That was last week's sermon. Okay. How many of you watch Christmas movies? How do you like this is one we like a lot, The Bishop's Wife. Remember The Bishop's Wife? You guys don't remember The Bishop's Wife. Oh, we should watch it. It's got Cary Grant and I can't remember the name of the other guy. anyway, he's a pastor, and Cary Grant is an angel, and so he comes and he's trying to get him to actually rethink what is most important, sort of. This pastor wants to build this big church, you know, cathedral, and because it's going to be a really cool thing for him. But he wants to think that it's about God, but it isn't. Okay, so this is my point. During the show, he's trying to raise money. And so this one guy who is a professor gives him this thing, and it's a Roman coin. It's an old Roman coin. He says, here, just take it. And they look at it and think, eh. And so he gives it to the pastor's wife, and she gives it to the pastor. He says, oh, what's this piece of junk? And he just, it was worth tons of money. It was a gift. Okay. Lots of times, we don't take for granted, or we take for granted something that's a gift, and we don't really appreciate it, or give it priority, or make it a goal, or try to achieve it, or look for it, if we don't recognize the value of it. Here's a guy who gave him this, it was an antique Roman coin from probably, you know, the first few centuries there, and he had it was worth a ton of money, just like any sort of artifact like that, but he didn't know the value of it, so he didn't appreciate it or want it or give thanks for it because he didn't recognize what it was worth. Now, here we read these. This was from last week, same passage. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Okay, this is actually kind of a funny story because these are some Jewish leaders who are trying to trick Jesus. Because they want to get him on something. And so they say, okay, because if you'd read earlier in the passage, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were both going at Jesus trying to because he's getting all kinds of people coming to him, and they're saying, hey, we're the people here who are in charge. Who is this dude? And we'll give him some questions and see how he can answer. So they had done given him some other questions. But here they say, okay, what's the greatest commandment? And he says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first, in the great and the first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So what do you think he's talking about, all the law and the prophets? There was a plan, okay? And there's God. We're going to talk about that in a second. And God had given us some rules and some guidelines, and which one was the most important? The greatest. These two right here. Okay. And so we look at these. We're going to talk about this in next week's sermon. These are commandments. Now, how many of you have a list of commandments? We could read the Ten Commandments. Okay. And that was a big deal, you know, back in the law. And then, of course, Jesus said, you know, it's more about what's inside your head. Even if you are obedient, you know, if you're thinking of doing something, that's just as bad as doing it. And he recognized that, you know, this is all about your heart and your mind. Not necessarily your behaviors. And so you could keep all the law, but if you're still wicked inside, you're still wicked. Okay, but so he's saying that these two things are the most important. So when we think about commandments, do you think, I mean, in the Ten Commandments, and this is when I was going through evangelism training, I watched a couple of videos, and they were interviewing people. This was a Christian organization. They were actually on college campuses and talking to people about Jesus and then trying to get their reactions. And so they were showing you some of the reactions. This was to kind of help me understand, when I'm going to share the gospel with people, what kind of feedback am I going to expect and then be ready for it. Okay. And one of the things most common about Christianity was, it's just too many rules. And I tried it, and I tried to be a good Christian, and there's all these things that says, don't do this, and do this, and do this, and don't even think about this. And it just became too hard, and I tried, and I fail, and I try again, and I fail, and I try again, and finally I just give up and put on my Sunday school face and tell people the right things, but I'm done. Does it seem like that sometimes? Does it seem like there's just all these commandments and things? We're going to talk about that next week. If you think that, you're thinking about commandments completely wrong. Now, maybe I shouldn't say completely wrong. You need to be thinking at it in a larger perspective. Because here's what I'm telling you. These are not commandments. These are gifts from God. Okay? When God says, love me, and when God says, love each other, do you think that was inherently possible in broken human beings? No, we're going to read some scriptures that tell us no. Okay. So this is God saying, yes, I want you to do this. Yes, I want you to love God and love him with everything you have. And I want you to love each other. But guess what? You can't do it. Well, God, why are you asking me to do stuff I can't do? Because this is my gift to you. I am going to open the door for you to be in relationship with me and love me, God's saying, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And in one of the other verses, it says this. And then love each other. We talked about this at men's breakfast yesterday. Love each other as yourself. This is agape love for other people. Do you think that broken, selfish, sinful human beings can really do that on their own? Yes, no? No. They can't. And so these are commandments. We call them commandments, but what this really is God with a gift to those. And he said, I am going to ask you to do certain things for your good and my glory, and I'm not going to ask you to do things that I won't also help you and open the door for you to do. Make sense? Okay. How does this relate to Christmas? I'll tell you. How does it relate to Christmas? Because we look at these and since we call them commandments, we think or we don't understand and recognize what did this commandment gift cost God? God, you're telling me I got to love other people and I got to love you, and it just kind of bums me out sometimes because I can't do it. Instead of looking at it like, God, I can't believe you gave me the opportunity to have relationship with you, which was the thing I needed most of all, except never understood. And in that relationship comes all the things that are going to meet the needs of my soul. And you're providing that, and it sounds like a rule and a command, but what it really is a gift. And I am going to therefore not give it the value because I'm not going to think about what it cost you to offer me that. See, when we were born, I should look at my notes every once in a while when I'm up here. Do we see them the way we're supposed to see them? See, we need those things, the needs of our soul. And God created us as human beings in his image, right? Because he knew that relationship with him was going to provide all of the things that we needed. Okay. Then comes sin, right? Sin. Sin happens and it gets in the way of our relationship with God. Now, God's got a plan. We're going to talk about that here in a second. That's what Christmas is about. God's plan, but we have to understand who we were and why we were in such trouble before maybe we understand why this commandment is such a good gift, and then understand how much did that gift cost God. I mean, it's like the Roman coin. The guy looks at it, he thinks, that's a piece of junk, throws it away. In the end, though, it comes back to him, and the angel says, do you understand how much that coin is worth? Do you understand what this is? This is an artifact worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Okay, so we come into the Christmas season, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it's a wonderful time. And our culture has used this time, and it's like, we started over here. Let's celebrate Jesus' birth. Let's celebrate Jesus' birth. And a bunch of people who are, you know, Christians or whatever they're going to call them at the time are over here. And then the culture says, well, let's add some stuff. Let's add getting together and opening presents. And then let's add having all these other Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And let's add all these other things. And pretty soon the crowds all gather around and they're way over here. And actually understanding that we're talking about the birth of Jesus because it's part and the beginning of God's plan to give us relationship with him. And so I'm going to come walk back over here and say, come back, you guys. Come on, come on, come on. Let's talk about what we're really here to celebrate. The cost of these commandments. Because here's where we started, folks. I hope this doesn't bum you out, but this is you. This is me. As it is written, Romans 3, 10 through, actually we're going to go through, I think, 18. None is righteous, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. For all have turned aside, and together they become worthless. Is this really going to help your self-esteem? You're worthless. No one does any good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. See, people, this is where we all started. This is where we all came into this world in this condition, separated from God because we were born with a sin nature. And sin, because of God and who he is, because of his standard, because of his holiness, sin separates us from God. Now, we knew from Scripture, every single one of us is born with a sin nature. And that sin nature separates us from the source of everything we truly need to find joy and happiness and peace and satisfaction and security and hope. All of the needs we were created to have, but also be met by God. And the source of the thing that's going to meet the needs has been taken from us because of our sin. That's where we started. Now, we become Christians, and we just kind of take that whole thing for granted. Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Look, I was smart enough to choose God and then come into the family, and of course, Jesus died for my sins, blah, 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 and I feel pretty good about myself. But what did your relationship with God, and hopefully you have one, and hopefully you're growing in intimacy. That's one of the reasons why we come here, is to grow in intimacy by being transformed more into the image of Christ. Okay, because as I said last week, and this, as the time off I had, I was thinking about what's life all about. There is nothing greater. And your priority should always be, every day, can I grow in intimacy and relationship with God? There's a lot of other things we think about. There's a lot of other things that come up. You know, I have to think about, okay, when am I going to prepare a sermon? And when am I going to go visit this person? And so I got a lot of other priorities in my life. But guess what? If I don't use intimacy and relationship with God as the primary goal, then the rest of the things that we're doing, you know, I mean, sometimes we have to work because we have a family and we got to have a house and food and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yes, there are other things we have to do, but the number one priority needs to always be there. But then, to make it and keep it as the number one priority, like the Roman coin, I have to understand how much that was worth and how much it cost God. See, sin was the relationship killer. And that's where we were. But God had a plan. See, God knew this was going to happen. The whole thing came apart, right, with the very first two people he created. And so he knew from the very beginning, here we are, human beings taken away from the source of everything they truly need. But God says, I could just zap you all and start over again. Could have. But he said, nope, I have a plan. Now, we can ask ourselves, a lot of theologians talk about it. A lot of Christians have a problem with it. Why did God allow the people he loves so much to fall? He could have stopped it from happening. Why did he allow it? And then now every single human being is born broken and separated from God. And if he was such a wonderful God, why would he allow that to happen? I don't know. But it allows God to demonstrate aspects of his character, love and mercy, grace, forgiveness. So I'm not going to question God's overall plan. But what I do know is it was a plan. And so he had a plan to reconcile human beings back to himself, which would require dealing with the sin. Because God is not going to change his character nor change his standard. Okay, so this was the deal. Every human being separated from me over here. I'm bringing some of them back. But in order to do that, I can't just look the other way and just say, "Oh, I know they're kind of weak people and everything, so I'm just going to just look the other way, but I still love them." Nope, he said, "I have to deal with the sin." To deal with it. The only possibility of having relationship with God, the one thing they need the most, is that I have to deal with their sin. And here's my plan. I am going to go become God and man. I am going to come down to their world. I am going to be born as a human, 100% man, 100% God, through the birth from a virgin, so that people will know I had to do this supernaturally. I'm going to live a perfect life to give them some idea of what the standard is, to show them that I am here to restore relationship, to give them my teachings, to start having a group of people called disciples that learn from me what the goal is, what the mission is. But then I'm going to have to die. Now, what does that mean? We get very into this time of year. And we should, right? And I love it in there. I'm not saying that there's anything bad about, going to Christmas parties or going around looking at Christmas lights or making Christmas cookies or watching Christmas movies, getting together as a family and opening gifts. But like Josh said, and I've heard this before, and I really appreciate what you said, Josh. This is not a one part of the story thing. We get caught up in Christmas and the wonderful things of the baby child Jesus coming and being born in a manger, born in a stable, put in a manger, and people come and shepherds see him. What a wonderful, cool thing that is. Except it's really wonderful and cool because it's also the time I get to go watch all these Christmas movies and go shopping and have all this fun and I'll have all these wonderful childhood memories. And then I forget. This is not a one part of the story. We have Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. You cannot, we cannot, as Christians, take any one part of that and think this is the cool part. You know, we get together and we do an Easter thing or a Good Friday service, and we're going to celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. Okay. And then we get together on Easter, right? And we have this big celebration. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. I'm telling you, people, it is not a one thing. It's the whole thing. It's always got to be the whole thing. We can get all fixated on celebrating Jesus' birth, but if that's all he did was come down here and be part of us so he could get to know us a little bit better and give us an example to live, we're all going to hell. We need to celebrate every bit of that. We ought to be reading this on Christmas morning. John 1:29. This is John the Baptist. As he saw Jesus walking towards him, Jesus probably was about 30 years old. And this is what he said. Hey, here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's really cool. He's got lots of power. He's going to be really, really fun. Hanging out. Come on. Is that what he said? No. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin. Who takes away the sin of the world. What is this representing? Is Jesus a lamb? It's a metaphor, right? Of what? What is it? Metaphor of? They would take this cool little animal that's probably meh, 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 really pretty and cute and everything with his fuzzy little hair, and slice its throat up, cut him down the middle, and burn him. Son of God, that's what you're here for. They're going to tote you with coat you with tar and burn you alive. See, when Jesus came as a baby, it was really fun, and, you know, look at him, and, you know, how cute he is, and put him in this little manger and everything. But he came for this. He came to die. And unfortunately for him, you know, we look at this. I'm gonna run out of time, so I'm going to say, but this is our Christmassy one, right? In fact, we're going to be reading this on Christmas Eve. Eve. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So this is what we think about, right? But for unto you today is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And Savior is Sotar, God, the way of salvation. Christ is Messiah, and Lord is supreme authority, master, and God. So the angels are trying to tell people, you know what, this is the day. And we celebrate God becoming man. It's wonderful. And then we got to go back to John 1:29. He came to die. Came to die for you. Now, so he comes. And how was he received? You know, here's this God. He's going to be, and he's going to be the most famous, the most popular, the most powerful. And because he came and he was God and it was supernaturally and people saw a star and all. Yeah, well, what does it say here? His own people didn't receive him. To all who did receive him, believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God. Okay, but was he really popular? Did he have a great following? Okay, so was that the main purpose, that he was going to come and say, look, people, I got a message for you, and I'm God, and no. In fact, what did they do? killed them. The very people he came to love on and save, Jews, they killed them. So that wasn't really, I mean, that wasn't a thing that happened. It was part of the purpose. But what was his real purpose? Go back to John 1:29. He came to die. He came to pay the price so that you could obey the great commandment. That's why John said this. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I've said this before. To me, this is the most difficult, sad, horrible verses in the Bible. Because same thing on Good Friday. We get together and we talk about, you know, Jesus, and they, you know, I don't know if you watch the Passion of the Christ movie, and it's all fixated on, and we do this, you know, and I'm saying it did happen, right? They took him and they put him on the crown of thorns. They made him carry a cross. Then they hammered nails through his hands and his feet, and they put him on this cross to suffer and die. Lots of people died. Lots of Christ's followers were killed. We have no idea. We have no idea. You can't even, you could think about it the rest of your life, and you would never be able to comprehend what it meant for God, who knew no sin, who was perfectly, completely holy and powerful and just and loving, to become sin. That, I mean, we could say the physical death was hard, and it was. And we could say, I think it's a metaphor for us to understand what really happened was God took Jesus out behind the woodshed and stuffed your sin all over him. God loved us enough that he was willing to take the thing he hated the most, which is sin, and bear it himself. That's the message of Christmas. That. This is the message of Christmas. This is the plan that God had. This is the reason he sent the baby Jesus to be born of a virgin, to live the perfect life, and eventually to physically die. But the physical death is not what saves you. It's this. I'll go back to the first commandment and say, love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. And know this. You're never going to be able to do that except that Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin on your behalf. So what am I supposed to take away from this, Tim? We talk about this, you know, on the holiday times. Don't just take one day to think about Jesus and when he was born. You should be celebrating it every day. Same thing on Good Friday. Don't just think about this on Good Friday. Recognize that this is the reality for you every single day, Christian. And same with the Easter time. Don't just think about this on Easter. Recognize that the resurrection was God metaphorically showing you that with him there is life eternal. He physically dies. Now you're going to physically die. He physically was resurrected. You're going to be physically resurrected. But what I'm really trying to tell you is life is relationship with God. Everything else is death. I am going to restore your relationship with God because he took sin upon himself. And so, yes, you're going to physically die and physically be resurrected too when God comes back or when you go to heaven, whatever. But what's really happening is I have dealt with the sin problem because life means relationship with me. Actually, when people go to hell, you know, there's a lot of different versions of this and different. I believe in the same with heaven. And I said this last week. There's all kinds of things we want to see in heaven, right? We talk about, oh, am I going to be able to fish? Am I going to be able to hunt? Am I going to have this, you know, wonderful thing that I love? What you're going to have is intimate relationship with God with no sin. That's heaven. It don't really matter where it is. I'm going to get everything I needed right there. I'm going to have total, absolutely perfect intimacy with God. You know what hell is? None of that. I don't know if you're actually going to burn. I don't know if you're actually going to be in the dark. I know this. You're going to be completely, completely separated from God. That is hell. So I guess my takeaway for this sermon is, yes, it's cool to have Christmas, and I love it. And I enjoy all of the different activities that happen in Christmas, and I love the Christmas movies, and I love the shopping, and I love the decorating. I don't decorate, but I like to watch other people do it. Thank you, whoever did that. But I want to remember what is most important. I want to take the Roman coin and say, thank you, God. You allowed me to have a relationship with you. And I'm never going to forget what that cost you. I'm never going to forget the value of you telling me I need to love God with all my heart and soul. What you're really telling me is, I made this possible for you, Tim, to come into relationship with me and get all the things you need in this life and the next. And I want you to remember that. And then we're going to go back to last week's sermon. Why should I remember that? Why should I remember the cost? Why should I remember all of those things? Because I won't make it the number one priority in my life if I don't. So if you want to take away from today, that's what it is. Think about, you know, this is one of the things I got to do. Somebody said, yeah, I think it was Dave. You said, you know, here I was floating around on this island, right? Floating around on my raft, just trying to remember and think about things, which I did. I got at that time away, helped me do that. And one of the things was, Tim, you need to recognize what is the most important thing and always, always, always keep your priority on that one thing. How can I grow in intimacy with God? And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to remember on a very regular basis that God loved me enough to become sin on my behalf. And that ramps up the priority of relationship with him because I know how much it costs. Because most of the time, we just think, I get to make the decision. I get to do this. I can take it or leave it. And yeah, I want to go to heaven and everything else. I'll come, but I don't really need to be motivated to give my life totally to God because, you know, I accepted Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer, and I'm going to go to heaven. So, no. That allowed me to recognize that the most important thing is you, God. And I need to think about you all the time. And I need to love you because of what you've done for me. And I need to understand how much that gift cost. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Get up on Christmas morning, and instead of celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrate the entire story. And remember, when you pass out your gifts, and maybe they cost you some money, but the gift that you received from God cost him everything. All right, let's pray. Father, this is a time when we do get kind of sideways distracted about all of the comings and goings of Christmas time and the season and all of the traditions that we have and all these things. And it's easy to forget that the birth of the baby Jesus was there to bring us back into relationship with you through the death of that baby 33 years later. So Lord, help us to remember the whole story and use that knowledge to prioritize what is most important in this world, in this life, and that's relationship with you. And we need your help with that. We can't do it on our own. And so, Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit will bring us to that place. Keep us there every day. In Jesus' name, amen.